Okay. All right. I want to discuss a certain piece of Torah that is written over by the Talmidim of my uncles, that's how. And I'll make comments. Different Talmidim write it over differently. And along the, as I go through the piece of Torah that is written, I will make some comments concerning certain of the points that I made. And it focuses on the prohibition on Tisha B'Av of learning Torah. Now, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Dalet mentions that thinking and learning on Tisha B'Av is prohibited because of the Pasuk, as the Chazal tell us, Pekudei Hashem Yisar Misam Chelei. And when one thinks in learning, one has joy. Consequently, thinking and learning on Tisha B'Av is prohibited. And for that reason, the Magen Avraham says that it's like pasking a shayla. Someone asks, mutter asur? Is something allowed or something's not allowed? And you say mutter, or you say asur. You say it's permitted or it's not permitted. Hardly involving a Torah discussion. Just a quick answer. Nevertheless, it's prohibited because there are thoughts behind the psak and thinking and learning is considered to be having joy. And on Tisha B'Av, Kudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chelei, learning Torah is it considered a joy, and consequently it's prohibited. Now, my uncle was somewhat troubled by this. I don't know. He was troubled because he said that just passing a shayla, based on what you knew before, with nothing new, he doesn't see that as something that is expressive of simcha. And then he says there is a, but okay, that could be. My uncle, his learning was constantly involved in saying chedushim, coming up with new ideas. But there is a Gemara in Tainis, where Rabbi Yehuda says it's machlokis tanayim, but Rabbi Yehuda shita is, and we passed in that it's you're not allowed to learn even in a place that afilu she'eno ragel. In other words, that you have to break your teeth over learning. Rashi says a place that to a certain degree you have tsar, you have some pain in the learning, in trying to understand what is being said. Nevertheless, so obviously there is no simcha there. Nevertheless, it's prohibited to learn these things on Tisha B'Av. So the question is, how are we to understand it? It's true, Tanakhama disagrees, but we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. So my uncle said, he said, learning Torah halachically is considered a davar shel simcha. Even though in your particular case, in the particular sugya that you're learning, you don't have simcha, you don't have joy. But the act of learning, halachically, is considered having simcha, is considered having joy. Now, so therefore, he said, so that let's say if a person, even though there is no physical pleasure And the contrary, there is no physical pleasure in the learning, no intellectual pleasure in the learning. But nevertheless, it's considered a davar shel simcha. It has the status of something that's considered happy. Consequently, it's prohibited. It's prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Now, and so he says also, so consequently, he says, a psak is considered a davar shel simcha halachically. And so because of that, he felt that that's the explanation why it's usher at the paskin. Even though in a particular case, a person won't have joy, or in a place, it's a davar shein aragel, it's a place where he has to break his teeth to learn. He has sar. There is a certain sense of frustration. Nevertheless, it's considered a davar shel simcha, an act of joy. So consequently, it's prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Now, I have a lot of trouble with this svara. How we understand this svara, this logic? Now, I think there are a number of possible ways of understanding it. One way of understanding it is the avelus of Tisha B'Av is not only internal avelus, but the avelus of Tisha B'Av halachically has to be demonstrative. You have to demonstrate, you have to show mourning. And sometimes even thinking or acting in a manner that is expressive of mourning. So we could say that since Torah generally is considered a davar shel simcha, it's considered an act of joy, so consequently it's prohibited to learn on Tisha B'Av, even something that you do not have familiarity with, that in a certain sense has psychological pain in trying to understand. And then we could also suggest that things that long-term might cause simcha, even though it won't cause internal joy now, but long-term it will contribute to having simcha. Learning Torah in a manner that long-term will cause to have simcha, perhaps is also prohibited. And then we could suggest something else. Now, there is a very famous machlokas, a dispute, between the Balatanya and Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChayim. What is the definition of Torah Lishma? And there seems to be the same machlokas is between the Rush and the Rambam. There is some differences between the Rambam and the Baal HaTanya, but the shittos are very similar. What is considered Torah Lishma? Torah for its sake. The Reb Chaim Volozhiner understood Torah Lishma to mean that for the intellectual love of learning. Of course, intellectual love of learning doesn't chas v'shalom mean that you have a scientific approach to learning, that you treat learning as a history book, chas v'shalom, but for the love of Torah learning. There's a difference. There are those who study Torah as history, as sociology, as anthropology. Chas v'shalom, that's not Torah. We're talking people who learn Torah as part of the Masorah, as a perpetuation of the Masorah. But the intellectual love of Torah, that according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is what Torah Lishma is. However, the Baal HaTanya says what Torah Lishma means, and the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva seems to say that Torah Lishma means for the sense of dveikus, because Torah is a medium. Chaim Voloshin doesn't disagree with the facts. Torah is a medium that brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody is learning Torah and he focuses on the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's Torah Lishma. Matter of fact, it's because of this reason that the Baal Tanya felt that there is great significance to the saying of Tehillim. Because Tehillim is from is one of the places of Torah that are most expressive of the dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps we could say that when a person learns Torah, see, even though he's learning in a makom sheina rogel, in a place that he's not used to learning, and he doesn't have that intellectual joy, which, by the way, that Reb Chaim Voloshiner speaks of, and the Eglei Tal and the Hagdama to his Sefer expresses it much even more so than Reb Chaim Voloshiner, that the ultimate Torah Lishma is the joy, the intellectual joy that one has from learning Torah, from understanding Torah. But there's perhaps, even when one has difficulty in learning Torah, and but nevertheless, with all the difficulty, on a certain level, there is a sense of happiness. Yes, there's tzar, there's pain that I'm not able to understand it the way I want to understand it. But there's a certain sense of joy in the sense that by my learning Torah, I have this sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we could suggest that when one learns Torah, even with difficulty, and there are many such cases where people would come to a shiur and they would only understand a minimal amount of what was expressed of the shiur. But with that minimal amount that they expressed, and they would always talk about the one sentence or the two sentences that they understand. But to them, that represented the joy of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being close to God. In regard to Yontif, when the Jews were Ola L'Regel, Usmachtam L'fnei Hashem. So that sense of closeness to God is identified with Simcha, because the Metzius, it is Simcha. So we could say that perhaps, and there are those that when my uncle mentioned that it's a halacha, of having simcha, even if it's b'metzias, there's no simcha beguf, is the way that they write that my uncle said it. So they wrote in their notes that perhaps my uncle meant that there's no simcha saguf, but there's simcha sanefesh. I'm not sure exactly what they meant by that, but this might be an alternative. The idea of Simchas HaNefesh, whether my uncle meant it, didn't use those terms. The idea is there's joy in the fact that I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though there is tsar in my struggle to understand what I'm learning. Now, and it's very interesting, the poet, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz, they discuss, the halacha is that the chadarim, the tinoko shel beis rabban, the tinoko shel beis rabban, that the chadarim are closed. Children don't learn. The question is, why is it that children are not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? So, why is it that they're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? So, there is a machlokis between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. The Magen Avraham says that the reason they're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, after all, what are they doing? They're just learning. They're just reading. They don't understand it. He says, but children have satisfaction just in the reading. They have satisfaction, the satisfaction of accomplishment, that they're able to read. So therefore, it's prohibited. It's prohibited for them to keep the Chadarim open on Tisha B'Av. The Taz says that it, as far as the Tinokos are concerned, it would be mutter. But why is it prohibited? It's prohibited because the Melamed, the teacher, the Torah teacher, he enjoys the teaching of Torah to his students. Now, my uncle suggested a third approach, and then he mentioned something in the name of Reb Chaim. My uncle suggested that because the Torah, when the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban are learning Torah, when they are reading the Torah, so it is Torah. Now, it could be that they don't enjoy it. It could be that they don't enjoy it. But nevertheless, it's Torah. And Torah, according to my uncle Shita, Al Pidin, is considered as if it was something that halachically is considered something joyful. Kudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelech. And even though the Metzias, though in fact, children are looking to run out of the cheder. So he used this to explain that halacha. Consequently, it's usur to have the chadarim open on Tisha B'Av. My uncle mentioned something very interesting, that Reb Chaim had a different approach and why chadarim should be prohibited to stay open. Reb Chaim said, it's not because of the regular isur of Talmud Torah, the regular prohibition of learning Torah. He says, like, there's a special halacha when the Nasi dies, the Beis Medrash is batal. So on Tisha B'Av, there is a special halacha that the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, the Chadarim, are closed on Tisha B'Av. My uncle mentioned that when Reb Chaim became Rav of Brisk, the custom was that on Tisha B'Av, they would keep the Chadarim open, and the Rebbeim would learn with them the Dvarim Harayim, things like Iyiv, things that were associated, parts of the Torah that were associated with sadness or associated with the Churban, things that halachically were permitted to study on Tisha B'Av. And Reb Chaim felt that the Chadarim should be closed, because it's a halacha, it's a separate halacha, Reb Chaim felt, that that the Tinokel Shel Beis Rabba are not learning. It's a special halacha. It's not just the Isur of Talmud Torah, the prohibition of Talmud Torah. The Chaim didn't explain any reason for it. He felt it was a special halacha. We perhaps could suggest that it emphasizes the tragedy of the Churban. That the tragedy of the Churban was not a tragedy primarily of one generation. But the tragedy of the Churban was a tragedy for generations to come. And the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, they represent the future generations. And then, it's interesting, my uncle said, the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Lamed mentions that it's also to read in Tanakh the Lishnos B'Mishnah V'Talmud, and to learn in Mishnah and Talmud, so and Medrash, and prohibited to learn Mishnah, Talmud, and Medrash. And my uncle was intrigued. Why is it? Now, there are other possible answers, but I just want to mention how he understood it. Why, when it comes to Tanakh, it says in Yom Tisha B'Av, it's prohibited, on Tisha B'Av, it's prohibited to, on Tisha B'Av, it's prohibited to read in Tanakh, and it's prohibited to learn Mishnah, Talmud, and Medrash. Why should it be that? Why is it that there's the distinction? Why didn't it say that it's also to teach Tanakh also? Why did it say Likros B'Tanakh? And the answer, my uncle said, is very obvious, because there is a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. When it comes to Torah Shebichsav, when it comes to the written Torah, so the words of Torah themselves are Torah. If a person will read all Chamishei Chumshei Torah and not understand one word, nevertheless, he has a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because the words themselves are Torah. And since they're Torah, even though the person doesn't understand one word, and a person could argue if he doesn't understand one word, he has no joy from the learning. Nevertheless, it's prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Why? So my uncle said, because Torah is considered joyful. Even in B'Metzias, even in fact, there isn't joy. But when it comes to Mishnah, Talmud, and Medrash, Mishnah, Talmud, and Medrash, the words themselves are not Torah. What is Torah is what is the ideas that are expressed. So if one doesn't understand, the reading is not a mitzvah. It's the understanding that's the mitzvah. Therefore, we're told, reading Tanakh is prohibited on Tisha B'Av, whereas learning Mishnah, Talmud, and Medrash is prohibited. Now, why is it? Because Torah is considered to be a Maisa Simcha. If it's Torah, it's considered Simcha. Now, then the question is, if that's the case, so why is it that Dvarim Haroyim, things that are expressive of sorrow, of tragedy, are permitted to be studied on Tisha B'Av? After all, it's Torah. And if Torah halachically is considered something of joy, so why should it be permitted to study Dvarim Haroyim? Why should it be permitted
Why should it be permitted to study about the Churban? Why should it be permitted? And my uncle said a very big Kiddush. And to a certain degree, the way he gave it over, it seems that it was something that was based on what Reb Chaim said. My uncle said that on Tisha B'Av there's a halacha, and this goes against almost everything all the poskim say. Reb Chaim held that on Tisha B'Av one is allowed to learn in Yana Diyoma things that focus on the subject of the day, the halachas of Tisha B'Av, the events associated with Tisha B'Av, and even Varim Harayim that have nothing to do with Tisha B'Av, because they're considered in Yana Diyoma. It's studying about the subject matter of the day. And Tisha B'Av, you're allowed, Reb Chaim held, to study even in depth the subject matters of the day. Now, not only you're allowed to, but there is a special Kiyum HaMitzvah in doing it. What the mitzvah is, it might be the same mitzvah of Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchos Purim B'Purim. So similarly, there's a special halacha of Hilchos Tisha B'Av B'Tisha B'Av. Studying the Inyan HaDiyoma, and it might be even more than that, because at least as far as studying about the Churban is concerned, my uncle would say that generally a Jew is not allowed to ask questions. But Tisha B'Av at night, Eicha, how did this happen? Tisha B'Av, there is a special heter. In fact, it's not just a heter, it's part of the purpose of Tisha B'Av, is to understand how the Churban took place. Eicha, the Navi springs out. Yirmiyahu springs out. How did it happen? And that's perhaps, we could suggest, what makes it part of Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Atzeres B'Atzeres. But okay, that explains perhaps very well why you could learn at depth about Tisha B'Av, about the events of Tisha B'Av. Reb Chaim applied it to the halachas of Tisha B'Av as well. But why should you be able to learn about Dvarim Harayim? What does Eiv have to do with it? If Torah itself is considered joyful, so even though there's a heter of Inyan HaDiyoma, there's a heter of learning about the significance of the day. What's the heter to learn about Tisha B'Av, about Eiv, about Dvarim Harayim? You know, we say that all the events that took place as part of the Golus that has to be associated with Tisha B'Av. And that's why we find that the Rakinis and Tisha B'Av that deal with the First Crusades, many of the Golem, the last generation, were very much opposed to the establishment of the Yom HaShoah, because they wanted that the Shoah, the Holocaust, should be seen as part of the Golos, as part of the exile, and the proper day for the observance would be Tisha B'Av. There were those that felt that unless you had a special day, people at that time, it seems initially, after World War II, at least until the time Eichmann was captured, people were trying to disassociate themselves, were trying not to focus on the Holocaust. Many of the survivors had a lot of difficulty in dealing with the Holocaust. And finally, when it came about that people began to change their attitude about the Holocaust, there was a feeling, and there is some truth to that, certainly among those that are less affiliated with religious observance, that in a sense don't have an appreciation for the idea of Golos, for the idea of Churban, for what happened 1800 years ago. So it was important in order for them to comprehend what Golos meant, not to start with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but to start with the Holocaust. And then ultimately, and to a certain degree, that is what happened. After their focus on the Holocaust, they began to understand what the idea of Golos, what the idea of exile. Many even came to understand what it meant to Churban Beis HaMikdash. Matter of fact, in non-religious circles today, when they talk about bringing Jews to Israel, the way they do it is by first bringing them to the sites of the concentration camps. So because that was necessary, many felt that in order to people to comprehend initially, get some understanding, of course no one could completely understand, of what the Holocaust was, it was important to have another day. But ultimately, the goal was for them to comprehend what exile was, what Golos was, what the Churban was. But all these are things that are associated with the Golos. But Dvarim HaRayim includes many things that don't have to do with the Golos. So what is it? So it seems that Tisha B'Av was enacted because of the Churban. Tisha B'Av was enacted as a day dedicated to the day of understanding tragedy in general. Tisha B'Av and the Golos, of course, that was the reason Tisha B'Av was chosen, as the day dedicated to understanding tragedy. But it seems that all tragedies are involved. And you take a look at Rashi on Divrei HaYamim Beis. There is some question as to whether that Rashi was really written by Rashi.
but it was clearly written by somebody who lived at the time of the Crusades, of the First Crusades. And he implies there that Tisha B'Av is a day of kinos. And he says, when you say kinos on one tragedy, you say kinos on other tragedies as well. You say kinos on other tragedies as well. And even if it's not directly, even if it's not directly related to the Churban. There they're talking about Yoshiyahu. Now Yoshiyahu is, the death of Yoshiyahu was related somewhat to the Churban. But Rashi doesn't seem to see it from that perspective. He just sees it as a tragedy, another tragedy. And he says, we say kina, kina on Yoshiyahu, when we say kinnis about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he even identifies it with the tragedies of the daughters of Yiftach, who was killed long before the Churban, long before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So it seems that there was a necessity to recognize the significance of tragedy. But the question is, what was the, and it's interesting, Reb Chaim, when he said that you're allowed, of course, when he said that you're allowed to learn about Tisha B'Av in depth, he brought a raya from the fact that it's brought down that you're allowed to learn Medrash Eicha. And Medrash Eicha is not just reading. It's not a cursory glance. It's studying in depth. But all that focuses on Tisha B'Av itself. What about the Dvarim HaRayim that don't seem to have a direct connection to the Churban or to the exile? And I think we could explain it. We could explain it with something that the Palge Mayim says. The Palge Mayim was a parish of the Nesivos, Anecha. So, and regarding the pasuk in Eicha, lo mi pi elyon, teitze haroos v'hatov, not from the mouth of heaven, of Apai, does the bad, in the plural form, haroos, v'hatov, in the singular form, the good, come. So why is it that when it comes to haroos, to the bad, it's in the plural form? When it comes to the good, it's in the singular form. I mean, if not for what the Nesivos said, I would say, because when somebody suffers from tragedy, from one event and another event and another event, each event is considered another blow. But when it comes to things going good for him, he generally tends to see everything, all the good as one. It's not every moment of good was another good thing. That's the nature of man. Perhaps it's the weakness of man, but nevertheless, that's the perception of man. But the Nesivos and Palge Mayim
explains it somewhat differently. And if he didn't say it, I'm not sure we would be allowed to say this. But we certainly can rely on the Nesivos. The Nesivos says you have two types of bad and you have two types of good. There is freedom of will. A person is free to choose to do good. And a person is free to choose to do bad. And God does not declare that I should do good. And God does not declare that I should do bad. Lomi P.L. Young. It doesn't come from God. It comes from me. I did it. And I assumed responsibility. But then, when it comes to good, if I choose to do good, and perhaps because I chose to do good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards me with good. But when it comes to bad, the Sefer says, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least in this world, does bad to me. No. But to a certain degree, the more we do bad, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdraws to a certain degree. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene in the natural course of events. Because door for door we say, Om Dimaleinu L'chaloseinu. In every generation, they stand up on us to destroy us. But God interferes. He prevents it. You think there was a Hitler only in one generation? There were Hitlers in every generation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfered to a much greater extent in those other generations. Why this generation was different, I don't think we're capable of understanding. But the idea is that the Sefer is suggesting that tragedy takes place because in a certain sense, in a very limited way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes himself. He's always seeing and watching. And when it comes, when it's absolutely necessary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will interfere. And he's constantly interfering to certain degrees. But the amount of interference to a large degree is dependent upon what we do. And if you take a look at the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph, so you get the impression that, in a sense, Ba'al HaKisei Kedmus Adam, on top of the Kisei, on top of the throne, it's like the appearance of man. And the way Reb Chaim Volozhin seems to understand it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, empowers man to empower him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is all powerful, but he placed limitations on himself and gave man the power to empower him. Reb Chaim Volozhin says, what is the definition of the word Baruch? I've mentioned it before. Baruch means Tosfos, the way I understand it, Tosfos Koach. That represents man giving God more strength. And if we see tragedy that existed both before the Chorban, that might not be related directly to the Churban. But in a sense, it was because, to a certain degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed himself. Because V'aldmus HaKis Al-Kisei Kidmus Adam. And I mentioned previously, I think 2 weeks ago, that the Beis HaMikdash L'mala was destroyed, not by Titus, not by the Nebuchadnezzar, but it was destroyed by the Jewish people with our deeds. And it was only after the Beis HaMikdash L'mala, the heavenly temple was destroyed, that the temple down on earth could be destroyed. They destroyed, as Chazal tell us, something that was already grounded. It was already destroyed to a certain degree. But all this idea of God removing himself, not interfering, and it's interesting that the Gemara in Megillah discusses why during the Tochacha you do not have separate aliyahs. And the Gemara mentions two shitas, but one shita is we don't want to make a bracha when the Jewish people, that talks about the downfall of the Jewish people. And in the Maseches Sofrim, it's brought down in the following words. V'amar Rav Yeshua Diskanin, Ani amarti imo anochi b'tzara. God says, I am with the Jewish people in tzara. Dimkein ein din, sheyivarcheini b'nei ha'tzara shalahem. That my children should bless themselves on their tzaros. Eliyikra echad hakol b'yaskel b'davacher b'yasayim b'davacher. Now, do you need a couple psukim before the tochacha and a couple psukim after the tochacha to make the brachas? But the brachas should not be made directly on the psukim of the tochacha. What's the idea? What's the idea behind it? But I think bracha represents, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, Tosfos, and the way I understand it from the whole writing of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it represents Tosfos Koach, the giving of additional strength to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all powerful, but he placed limitations on himself. And he gave man the ability, figuratively, to place ropes around his hands, figuratively, and to cut those ropes, figuratively. So bracha is tosfos koach, giving additional koach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, additional strength to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tochacha, even though it talks about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, but it's obvious that according to the Palgei Mayim, the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets man do what that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets man do that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves it up to man to control him in the sense of if HaKadosh Baruch Hu should interfere or HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't interfere. Brach is additional koach. Tochacha, that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's withdrawal. Figuratively, the weakness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, it could be that that's the pshat. Einu din shiyavar cheni banai al atzaros shelahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to give bracha, because bracha, the idea of bracha, is the opposite of what the tochacha is all about. So, it's very interesting. There is a Tshuvas Hagonim. The Tshuvas Hagonim says that we don't pass in that way, but the Tshuvas Hagonim is that you don't make a Birchas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. And the question is, why shouldn't you make a Birchas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av? What's the reason? Now, there is a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah is counted among the 613 mitzvahs, or it's not counted among the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam does not mention it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. However, the Ramban counts it as one of the mitzvahs. He felt that the Rambam should have counted among the 613 and didn't count. Because the Gemara in Bracha says, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. So from there we learn out Birchas HaTorah, the mitzvah to make a bracha in the morning before one starts learning. And the question, why the Rambam does not count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs? Rabbi Paul Shapiro, in Torah Shrafal, he mentions that there was another girsa in the Gemara, which we don't have in our text. I think he said he saw it in the Duke Sofre. And according to the other girsa, the Gemara concludes that Birchas HaTorah is not a biblical mitzvah. It's only a rabbinic mitzvah. Okay, but Mabit, and I think Derech HaShulchan, they suggest a different answer. Why Birchas HaTorah is not included as one of the 613 mitzvahs? And they say the reason why, because Birchas HaTorah is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So in other words, according to them, according to the Mabit, Birchas HaTorah is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, whereas according to the Ramban, it's a separate mitzvah. How are we to understand it? But I think we could understand the Mabit, and I really think that the better pshat in the Rambam is what Rabbi Paul Shapiro said. But I'm trying to understand them a bit, and that was the answer I think that the Aruch HaShulchan gave also. Again, the Machlokis, the Balatanya, and Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner understood that Torah Lishma is the intellectual love of the study of Whereas the Balatanya understood that part of Torah Lishma is dreikus, that sense of closeness, the sense of closeness that Torah learning brings to God. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner also felt that Torah makes you feel close to God, but that's not part of the Talmud Torah. That's sort of like an extraneous benefit of the Talmud Torah. So we could suggest that the Mabit understood like the Balatanya, that Torah Lishma is dveikus, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does Birchas HaTorah do? We say, Baruch Ata Hashem, you God. So you God It turns the Talmud Torah, it turns the learning of Torah into an inyan of dveikus, into closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since the essence of Torah Lishma is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, consequently the bracha on Talmud Torah, according to the Mabit and the Aruch HaShulchan, could be part of the mitzvah of Talmud.
Whereas, according to the Ramban, we could suggest, yes, Dreikus is very important, but that's not the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Torah Lishma is the intellectual love of Torah. But there's another mitzvah, the Araisa, and that's the mitzvah of Bracha. And the mitzvah of Bracha is to do something to make the Torah into an inyan of Dveikus, to turn it to bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to turn the Torah experience in a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tisha B'Av, the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, is in the contrary. It's the idea of sensing the lack of closeness. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because we didn't sense perhaps the closeness we should have felt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we can only recognize the separation when the Beis HaMikdash was taken away. So part of Tisha B'Av is the recognition of the separation that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, it's the withdrawal, the least the perceived withdrawal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Consequently, we could say that perhaps that's the reason that the Gaonim, perhaps that's the reason that the Gaonim decided, according to some of the Gaonim, it's brought down in the Otzar Gaonim, that Pirchas HaTorah should not be recited on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is dedicated to the recognition of, in a sense, the distance that there is today between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is to remind us of how we built a wall, if I can use the expression of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that separated us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the reason, perhaps, that there were limitations. So Dvarim HaRayim, tragedy, talks about the removal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, removing himself to a certain degree from the world, from us, from the events that take place. Tisha B'Av, we have to recognize. My uncle once said, that's part nistama tfilasi. It's part of the idea why we don't say tachanun. That's part of the idea that we don't say in the morning to skabel slosan, because there is somewhat of a separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't automatically, we shouldn't go in with this idea, our tefillos are automatically accepted. We have to recognize the damage that we did. Then we can first work on repairing that damage, breaking down the wall that separates us from our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
Okay, please put your questions in the chat. There seem to be some questions already. What will be different this year when Tisha B'Av will fall on Shabbos Kodesh and be postponed?
I discussed that in the last year. We can find out on the, let them look up on the internet. That's a share in itself.
Okay. And next question is, given that this year Tisha B'Av is a Nidcha, what next day prohibitions are there this year? At what time the next day do these prohibitions end? Again, part of the last week's share, but again.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. What was the question?
Given that this year Tisha B'Av is a Nidcha, what next day prohibitions are there this year? At what time the next day?
It's only at night, and it's about keeping away, even at night, it's about keeping away from wine and meat.
Okay. One of the comments is, was a brilliant shear. Okay, any other questions? People typing? No, I don't see any other questions. Next week, of course, is Tisha B'Av. Next week, there will not be shear. But with God's help, there will be shear the week after. Unless Mashiach comes, then we'll have it perhaps.
We're going to have the shear from Yerushalayim.
That's right.
We'll have but the truth is, I'm certainly welcome. Mashiach can give the shear in place of me. I'll be glad to have the vacation.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Okay, Rav Moshe, thank you again so very much, as always. May this be the last year that we have to fast and that we have to observe all the prohibitions of Tisha B'Av, the 9 days. And may we be zocha this year to really be able to study Torah without any prohibitions whatsoever, because Mashiach has come and redeemed us.
Amen.
Be well, everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.